Welcome to the Sedated Man Podcast. We're here to help you break free from all that's holding you down and provide you with the tools to embrace the brotherhood of Christ. It's time to stand back up and be the man you were meant to be. Here's your host, Mike Baker.
All right, I want to welcome everybody to episode 87. Can't believe I'm at 87 already. Forgiveness and Leadership, an interview with Doe Dietry. Did I say your name right, Joe?
Close enough. Joe Dietry.
Close enough. Joe Dietry. Okay. And we are going to dive into forgiveness and leadership because I think a lot of people, I have often asked the question, who counsels the counselor? Okay. No, you know, those people that you think are the strong leadership individuals, they are, but we assume that they're okay, that they're strong enough to handle anything. And ultimately then nobody asks the leader how they're doing, what their struggles are. All right. And forgiveness is one of those areas leaders really struggle with. Forgiveness of others might surprise you, but more especially forgiveness of themselves. But before we really get into that, I want to, I'd like Joe to introduce himself and give us your list of who you are and the things you've done, because I've seen it. It's quite extensive and impressive. So go ahead, Joe.
Hey, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you bringing me on.
Absolutely.
And I'm a 23-year veteran of the U.S. Army. I just retired back in January 2020 this year. And I started out learning leadership in the military, right? But I didn't really have a good framework, which I'm leading to the point of that. So about maybe 10 years ago, I had an experience with a leader of mine, a supervisor, that basically told me to get out of my pity box that I was in, my pity party, and told me, don't just sit there, do something. I'm like, huh? And she began to mentor me. Look, you need to listen to this. You need to read these books. You need to do that. You need to do this. And I was like, huh? You know, I was in that mindset of people teaching me something, waiting for someone to teach me something. But she began me on that journey about self-leadership. So I started going down that leadership experience, learning from others, gaining mentors along the way. So in my 22, 23 years in military service, I started going down the leadership route, which helped me to earn, when I came across John Maxwell, I earned a certificate in coaching from John Maxwell, taught us how to be coach, speaker, trainers. And then I was like, look, you know, when I go to school, I'm going to finally get my schooling done. I went to Liberty University and I got a degree in interdisciplinary studies in business management and leadership coaching. So my career was a study of leadership. And then I, you know, started volunteering, and you and I talked about it. I volunteered in different organizations, the Swamp Apes, which it's an organization that helps veterans with PTSD. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's part of the leadership process. And that I talk about in my coaching trainings and things of that nature about what different leaders do. And so right now, retired. After 22 and a half years of cumulative service, I've been an entrepreneur for about 20 years, been married for 22 years to my wonderful wife, Violet, and we're now living in San Antonio, Texas, and doing our thing here and coaching people. I got my first coaching client a couple months ago, which was pretty awesome. And I've been coaching other entrepreneurs along the way to help them develop their skills and abilities, helping veterans to understand that there is life outside the military, our military service is just part of life. It doesn't make us our life. It's part of our life. And then after service, we continue to live our life, but the military is a part of it. You know, that's a segment of our life, not the whole.
Right. Yep.
But that's a little bit of me. But I don't know what else you would like me to share. I can keep on going and going forever. We can have a whole hour of my experience.
Oh, no, it's fine. So, Okay. So as I see here, you became a real estate investor while still in the military.
Yes.
Okay. Which actually a lot more military members do than people realize. You were active Army, correct?
I was active for 8 years, then inactive for 3 years. Then I was active for my remainder of my 20 something years in the National Guard. I was an active Guard Reserve member. So
you were an AGR.
Yeah, AGR guy. Yeah,
I was an AGR for a short time myself.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't let that out all the time. Yeah. So I had 24 years National Guard.
Outstanding. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. So, all right. So what does this all have to do with forgiveness and leadership? Well, for one, you saw in the military, here you go. Are military guys notorious for not forgiving themselves?
Wow. Yeah. You know, that's true. And I love talking about forgiveness and leadership. Because that's one of my, one of the tenets that I teach about, one of the frameworks I teach about leadership. I taught, it's five of them. I talk about mindset, declaring your vision. I talk about forgiveness. A lot of people always ask me, why forgiveness? I'm going to talk about that shortly.
Yeah.
I talk about investing, not just investing like finances, making sure that a leader invests in the people around them.
Yeah.
Their family, their coworkers, subordinates, and seeing that they're an investment and investing in themselves. All right. And then I talk about sharing, which it means, it's another word for networking. I don't like using the word networking because I use sharing because networking has like a negative connotation.
Right.
But sharing meaning sharing your knowledge with other people. A rising tide lifts all boats.
Right.
Sharing like with charities, sharing with volunteering, things of that nature. And then the one thing that I talk about is mindset as well. But what I like to focus on since we brought it up was forgiveness. It took a long time, right? I'm a Christian, right? God forgave me. And I understood that. I understood that a lot. But I had a hard time forgiving others. But what I didn't realize, and I realized it after a while, is that I had a hard time forgiving myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, sometimes it's easy to forgive other people. Sometimes it isn't. And I gave this illustration about a couple months ago in a training that I did about forgiveness. And I also gave this illustration a couple days ago on another podcast. Is that imagine yourself, we've done this before. We've all helped friends, right?
Yep.
To move from one house to another. You know, you're carrying boxes and everything else like that. And, you know, you might drop some, whatever. But the illustration is, and I showed this, was a guy, or even if there's a woman listening, imagine yourself, you're holding boxes in front of you and they're stacked high. That represents unforgiveness. And when you're walking through life with unforgiveness, what are you doing with those boxes? You're peeking around. You're taking measured steps, like steps that you're scared you might step on something. You might hit something, you might fall over, but you're not really making progress. You eventually get to where you're going, but you're weighed down by unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and men, us, we tend to hide it. And I share this other illustration as well. I've seen this in myself. We share and present ourselves as we got it all together. Nothing hurts me. Because guess what? We're raised like that. You don't cry. Boys don't cry.
Yeah.
Boys don't do whatever, you know? And I was like that for a very long time until I came to a breaking point before God. And when I realized he forgave me, I laid it all down. But then I laid it all down because he forgave me for the things that I did. That I had to work in the progress to forgive others. Because I was still mad at some people that abused me mentally when I was younger, abused me physically. Some people that later on in life when I was an entrepreneur basically cheated on me with out of money, thousands of dollars of money, mm-hmm. lied to me about business deals and things like that. So I was still harboring those things and it was preventing me from being the leader I could have been. And I don't want men to walk around with that. And when I talk about forgiveness, I don't tell people, forget what they did.
No.
I say, put it in the past. And I call it burning the ships. But put it in the past. Realize a mistake was made. Learn from it. Get on with your life. Because if you're carrying that person around in that baggage, guess what that person is doing? They're living their life. They're not even thinking about what they did to you.
No.
And you're sitting there like, well, that dude, man, he talked to me that way. And you know, I'm going to get him back. What do you mean you're going to get him back? He's living his life. He's sitting out there on the boat fishing while you're stuck in your house stewing about something he did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's living the dream, and you're still wondering why you're at the level you're at, not going to the next level. Well, anyway, that's unforgiveness for somebody else. But my point is forgiving yourself. Mm-hmm. Because I made mistakes in the past, you know, with people. I lost thousands of dollars from mistakes that I made in decisions. And guess what? The fear of failure is one of the worst things we can carry around with us, because we haven't forgiven ourselves from that mistake in the past. Oh man, I should have never said that to that person. Or I should have never spent that money and bought that widget or bought that house, because it created a havoc with me and my kids. Mm-hmm. Or created havoc when I made that decision and my wife was upset at me. You know what? We make mistakes. The only person that was perfect that walked on this planet was Jesus. You know, and this is the point that I make. If God, in his infinite wisdom, love, power, and authority, was willing to forgive, you should be able to forgive. Mm-hmm. Forgive. Just say, you know, even it might sound corny, but just look in the mirror and say, you know what, brother? Talking to yourself, say, look, you know what? If God forgave me, I forgive you. You know what? He knows the mistakes that you made. I know the mistakes that you made. But he bore the burden on the cross for all those mistakes.
Yep.
And man, I was talking to another gentleman. He was in the UK. And I was sharing him with that story. And I could see his face, his demeanor was changing. And he said, look, hey Joe, I need you to stop real quick. Because we need to marinate on this a little bit. He said, when you talked about forgiveness, he said, you know what? My wife was talking to me about that the other day, because I made some decisions with my children. That, and they, in his parenting, that he thought he could have stopped them from making a choice that they made that was a bad decision in life. And he was blaming himself for the decision they made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And we do that in life, you know? It's like, man, if only I was a better parent, man, they wouldn't have turned out that way. You know what? God's doing something in them. You've done the best that you can. Don't worry about it. Yeah, pray about it, but don't attach yourself and put a chain around your neck for something that they made a decision on. Mm-hmm. You did the best that you can with the knowledge that you had at that time, with the wisdom that you had at your time. If you stay stuck in that area, you're not going to make a decision. You're going to be fearful. What if I make another mistake? What if I tell them the wrong thing again? You know what? You're human. Just live right now. Pray and seek God for wisdom. Ask for forgiveness for holding on to those things that you should have just let go a long time ago, and move forward. Because if you stay stuck in the mistakes, you're not going to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
You got to move forward. But yeah, that, I mean, When I saw that gentleman change in the realization, it's like, yeah, man, I'm not doing him a service, because I'm sitting here stewing in my pot when I can be praying for them, my children,
right,
saying, what can I do to help them out? And now that they're in this situation, how can I help them out better? And that's what forgiveness does when we hand it to God, say, hey, God, look, this, I know I made mistakes. I know I did this. I know I did that. This. And that, like they say, we lay our crowns at his feet. Mm-hmm. Lay those burdens down. Jesus said, you know, take up my yoke, for it is easy. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And that's what we need to do, you know. And I know it might be a hard subject. It took me years to figure that out because I made some mistakes in marriage.
Yeah.
Said some things I shouldn't have said, done some things I shouldn't have done. And I was like, you know what? If I'm going to stay in that, I'm just be focusing on the negative, and I'm going to be so scared to even make a decision. And she doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. She wants me to lead. She wants me to go ahead and make mistakes, even though she doesn't want to, but she understands. She understands that it's going to happen, you know, mm-hmm. because she knows I'm not human. I mean, when you marry an imperfect person who's been saved by the grace of God. When you have children, you produce not perfect children, even though you think they are perfect when they come out, and they pretty much are, but they grow up and they have to make their own decisions. They have to skin their knees up a little bit too.
Yeah.
And we can't walk in that condemnation of ourselves all the time, because it's unproductive.
No. The, you know, a few things you said. For one, I always tell people, things change for you when you take 100% responsibility for everything that happens to you.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't like that. And when I say that, I'm not saying that it's your fault somebody else did something stupid to you. When you take 100% responsibility for everything that happens to you, you have 100% of the outcome on your shoulders. What you choose to do is 100% up to you. How you choose to react, if you choose to forgive or not forgive. And the interesting thing is, and I looked it up before we got on, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, forgiving others, it's absolutely necessary to being forgiven. Okay? And you guys can go read that verse. But what happens when we are our own other? So in order to be forgiven, we have to forgive others. But if we're not willing to forgive ourselves, how can we expect God to do that? You know, how are we taking 100% responsibility? And I think you're absolutely on point there. A lot of people forget, you know, that, I mean, we take all these things on ourselves, and men of today's society stuff it, especially within the church, because, I mean, let's be honest. I don't know how your church is, or, you know, I can only speak specifically for my church, but I know many men of many faiths and many denominations, and across the board, churches are failing in helping their men step out, and instead they're pushing them to stuff more. Mm. And so forgiveness becomes one of those things that they stuff. I mean, one of the hardest things is the parent of adult kids. And just so anybody knows, my kids listen to this podcast, so I'm saying it anyway. One of the hardest things is, as the parent of adult kids, is watching them parent or watching them live life. Because you're just like, there's times when you're like, did I teach him that? I don't think I did. And then you look at your wife, did you teach him that? I don't remember teaching him that. So, but you have moments where you get down on yourself for things you see them do, and you forget, wait, it's time for their 100% responsibility. So no, you're absolutely on point there. I mean, but I mean, as far as, and we're not talking strictly military here, we're talking men in general, but in the military, I would say, and we both have experience with this. How many times did you deploy?
I deployed two times to Bosnia.
Both times?
Able to go to Iraq. Yeah, both times. But I wasn't able to go to Iraq as some joker. Yeah. I had to forgive him too. He busted up my knee prior to us deploying, and wanted to go with my squad, but I wasn't able to go.
Yeah, whereas I went to Iraq twice. Now, there's I always call them twofers. And the reason I call them twofers were they were soldiers where you got two people for the price of one. They were one way in front of mama, and they were a completely different way on deployment. All right? Now, you know, a lot of people, yeah, there was a lot of dirtbags. Yeah, there were a lot of great guys. I had a lot of negative experiences. I had a lot of positive experiences. But soldiers, as a general rule, if you think within your church that it's pushed to stuff your emotions and whatnot, it's even more so in the military, is it not?
Yes.
Would you agree with that, Joe? Yeah. Yes, so really, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you came out of the military, would you say it was some of that that inspired you to start coaching, to start mentoring, to start help, and to start actionable groups and whatnot to help vets with PTSD and whatnot?
Yes, because unfortunately, you're correct. When you're in the military, and this is unfortunately is a part of the system. Mm-hmm. If you say you're hurt in any way, you're labeled.
Yeah,
you are a soldier. You know, and especially mentally, either they're going to say, "Oh, well, we're not going to mess with him," or they're going to be like, "Yeah, he's faking it."
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. What do you do? So thankfully, just before when I came out, there was more of a campaign to say, look, it's okay to talk about this. It's okay to talk about it. But still, people were under that dogma or that stigma, like, well, no, I'm not going to say anything because they're going to say I'm crazy.
Right.
Well, you're not crazy. You just have something that needs to be healed. You have something in you that was traumatized, and there is a way to treat it.
Yeah.
You know, like one example is that there was a gentleman that came out with us on the swamp apes to go get pythons out of the Everglades. And he was having a problem. He was in the Navy. He was having a problem with alcoholism and not being able to keep a job. Mm-hmm. So what happened was that we went out there, and I'm a Christian, and the owner or the founder of Swamp Apes, he's a Christian too. And we wouldn't be apologetic about talking about God and prayer and stuff like that. But when he would come out there a couple of times, he was able to talk about his experiences.
Yeah.
He was able to express what was going on. And through that, there was healing. So much so that he was able to stop drinking, and he was able to get a stable job for him and his family and not be abusive because of the PTSD at home anymore. He well-rounded. Mm-hmm. So there is healing in confessing things. And that's why the Bible is big about confessing our sins, confessing, not necessarily, yeah, you know, whatever, but saying, look, I got a problem. I need right. help with this. Even asking for prayer. And I know I've been there too, that when my wife and I were going through trouble, we were going through trouble back between, let's see, it was 2004 and 2005. And there was a lot of trouble going on in our income, because I was out of the military at that time. I had a break in service.
Right.
And I wasn't able to get a job. We were having trouble with the business, losing money, and we were afraid to ask for help. Mm-hmm. So we were going to soup kitchens, getting food, barely making any money, and barely paying our bills. We only had money to pay the bills, no money for medical. So that's why we had to go to soup kitchens. But thankfully, the people at church, they noticed something was going on. Mm-hmm. Because I was losing weight. We were barely attending church, and just our demeanor was changed. But
so the signs were there.
Signs were there. Yeah, the signs were there. So they came to us and they say, look, why didn't you ask for help? And that's what men, and I'm encouraging men, if you're going through something, it's okay to ask for help. It's not a sign of weakness.
No.
Because there's people there that want to be your battle buddy and say, hey, man, I'm gonna stick with you no matter what. No matter what's going on, just allow somebody to come in, a trusted person, not anybody willy-nilly, somebody who's trusted that you feel trust about, and say, look, I need help. Mm-hmm. You know, and in this area, pray for me. I got, you know, my mind is going in different directions. I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling anxiety. I'm feeling defeat. Whatever it is, there is healing in asking for help. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if they're a Christian brother or sister. You know, and that's what happened. When brothers and sisters found out, they came to the rescue and helped us out, you know, providing food, relief, prayer, support, calls, whatever they could. And it's there. There's people literally waiting in the wings if you allow it to come in and be that help and support.
See, and that's yeah. A great point you make there. People noticed. And I think, man, I don't mean to hammer on this, but I think that is also a problem. Well, like I said, I call it how it is.
Yeah.
People are so enamored with their lives right now and so enamored with technology and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I mean, take your pick. There's 9 million social media platforms out there to be involved in and checking that we still know how to read people, but we don't like to, because it means work on our part. It means we might have to go ask. So, you know, on top of not being too proud to ask for help, because at the time it was embarrassing, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
It hit you, even when they were helping you, it hit you at your very core as a man that you were not providing, you were not doing, it only cemented in place for a short time probably that you were failing, right? Because it's that, why can't I do this? Why can't I get this done? And in some cases, people are mad at God. Why won't you allow me to get this done? Why won't you allow me to do this? And really, you know, people forget that blessings go both ways. The people who helped you may have absolutely needed the opportunity to help somebody else based on what was going on in their own lives, which means that when you are at the bottom of your own barrel, you should still be looking for who you can help as well. But no, it does. I mean, would you agree with that or would you disagree with that?
No, I totally agree. Because during that time, it gave me an appreciation for charities and other things that are out there that help people in need that don't necessarily reach out. And that's why a part of my leadership training, I'm just saying, because that's one of my foundations of leadership, is the share portion. And I talk about charities and volunteering and stuff like that and giving to those organizations, because I found the uniqueness, how God, and it was a charity, it was a few, you know, it was a soup kitchen.
Right.
And God put into somebody's heart to do that. And then out of that necessity and need, I saw, wow, these people are doing great. And that's why, you know, like, I also contribute to the Youth for Christ, because they help underprivileged kids to develop leadership, to learn about God, principles, to lead a better life. I also give to other organizations like Samaritan's Purse. And eventually, one of the things, my goals is to be able to teach kids at the Youth for Christ for free, you know, because you know what? Those organizations do great work. That organization that was in Colorado, when I was in Colorado at the time, they do great work feeding those that need help. They were a church organization. And it gives you an appreciation of what's out there, and to give back, you know, and to say, look, just in case there is somebody who's like me, a little hard-headed, not reaching out to the hands and feet of Jesus and my group and everything else, there are organizations there that will lift you up and help you. And so that's why I developed this coaching program as well, like you said, because it's like, look, I can't just hold this in. I got to share what I know and encourage aspiring leaders, young, old, veterans, to say, look, there is a way to do things that will benefit you. Not necessarily that you're doing it all messed up, because we're all in the learning process, but to be open to receiving that help, whether it is knowledge or actual help, you know, physically, financially, spiritually, whatever it is, don't be afraid to say, look, I need the help. Because that's a part of forgiveness. And yeah, when I went through that process, I was at the lowest of lows. But when those people came and showed the love and just helping, just like, hey, look, we got a box of food here. What else do you need? Do you need us to take your wife to some place? it brought tears to my eyes. It was so warming. And that was the love of God coming in, allowing the love of God to come in to bring that healing.
Yep.
Because he's right next to us. You know, do that the whole time. I thought he was far away. Mm-hmm. But he was like, say, hey, man, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here to lend that help if you just allow it. But it was just a wonderful learning experience. And I hope your audience sees and hears that, you know what? Forgiveness is just one call away from God.
Yeah.
Saying, God, I just, you know what? And let me see the help. Because in an illustration, when you forgive yourself, you forgive others, the boxes go away. And guess what happens? The vision in front of you opens up. And you have a clearer picture of your next step, and the thing called life and stuff. So it's been a great learning experience, and I appreciate you allowing me to share it.
No, absolutely. No, I appreciate you coming on to share it. Just one last thing. So in Acts chapter 7, you got Stephen, right? And he's getting mm-hmm. stoned. And Stephen's last words are forgiveness for those around him.
Mm.
Okay, forgiveness to the crowd. And that crowd, just so everybody recalls, included Paul, the future apostle.
Mm.
Okay. As I recall, he was the one taking coats.
Yes.
So you got Stephen. Now, Les Brown, motivational speaker, has a great saying, live full, die empty. And I think that, quite honestly, is very scriptural, very scriptural. Stephen lived full and he died empty. Forgiveness of himself was not his issue at the end. It was forgiveness for those who had done him wrong. Okay. Mm. So his focus was on others by not forgiving ourselves, no matter how selfish or selfless we think we are focusing on ourselves and really not able to give fully to anybody else around us. Our family, our sons, our daughters, our wives will not get 100% of us if we can't let those parts go. And I'm going to sit there and raise my hand and say, I am guilty of this. I mean, constantly, I had a rough upbringing myself. I still struggle with a lot of things now. I actually, so that everybody knows, if anybody has questions, I actually joined a challenge called Warrior Week. And I'm actually involved in that. Now it's a little longer than a week because they can't do it in a week anymore due to COVID. That's a different discussion. So it's a virtual event with a 2-day event, but either way, it's one of the toughest events out there. And I chose to do it because these are a lot of the things I struggle with, because when you don't forgive yourself, you think that you're giving to others, but you're not. You withdraw, you withdraw, you withdraw, you withdraw, you withdraw, yes, until you are the lone wolf. And you can count all of your friends on one hand and not use all your fingers. So, I mean, you know, the Lord designed forgiveness to be a release. One of the things I've often heard, I mean, I really like your boxes one. One of the things I've often heard is not forgiving is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yes.
And what's the point? You're right. They're living their life. They don't care what they did to you. And if they do, it doesn't matter. You need to let it go. It's your responsibility, 100% responsibility. Mm-hmm. Did you have any last things you'd like to add, Joe?
Oh, no. It is so true. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but
no,
it's true. If
we got to say it, you got to say it.
Yeah. Man. For a long time, I was upset at this one supervisor I had. And I mean, he would ride me from the day I entered the office till I left.
Uh-huh.
And man, for a while, it got so upsetting to me that I would be taking that anger back home. And there might be some people like that right now, that you're bringing your anger home.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the Bible tells us there is therefore no condemnation in Christ. Okay. You know what? If you've done that, if you're feeling that, go ahead and just release it. Forgive it. Put it under the blood of Jesus and be done with it. And then if you need to, tell whoever you were upset at or not the person, I'm not talking about the person at the work right now. I'm talking about at home, that you brought it home to, just ask for forgiveness. You know what? And if they don't forgive you at the time because they're still upset about whatever, that's okay. Just say, look, apologize, and I do ask for your forgiveness, and then just let it be. Because sometimes you just got to let it go.
Yeah.
That's for somebody, because that's what just dropped on my head. If you've been bringing it home, just don't beat yourself up over it. Forgiveness is the key. Forgive that person, whoever did it, that job, and then ask for forgiveness at home, and then ask God to help you out through the process. Because it's a process. Because now that you have established forgiveness, now God needs to work on that under individual and your household to work the forgiveness in them.
Right.
And the only way they're going to see change is it when they see it in you first, because you're the leader of the home.
Yep.
Don't try to push it on anybody else. Nope. That's another thing about forgiveness. Don't push forgiveness on somebody else until you have had it settled in your mind, in your heart. Oh, man. Because you have to establish and understand who you are in Christ first.
Yes.
And once you understand that you are forgiven, you're forgiven. Because like I said, it says there is now, therefore, no more condemnation, no condemnation mm-hmm. in Christ Jesus. But stop doing it. Forgiveness is right there at your doorstep. And allow that to marinate in your body and your mind and spirit, and ask God to give you a revelation on that. Because it is so important for men. And it was so important for me when I realized that it set me free in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. I was able to love my wife more.
Yeah.
On another level. I was able to love people more on another level and see them in a different light. Even when they didn't act all right, it gave me the mind of and the sight of how Jesus looks at them. If they're acting like a sinner, he sees them as a potential person to be saved, a potential person to be in the kingdom, because that's how he saw us at one point in time.
Yeah.
But we weren't acting so good. He wasn't mad at us. He's like, I died for you. I forgave you. And he says, he draws us in by his loving kindness. And you got to receive it. You got to receive it as God to say, well, I don't deserve it. That's the unforgiveness talking. When you say you don't deserve it, mm-hmm. we know we didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. That's why they call it a gift. So take that gift of forgiveness, unwrap it, and claim it as yours, because it has your name all over it. But that's all I got. This has been such a good time. This whole thing has refreshed me as well, because we have to constantly remind us each and every Absolutely. Day about his tender mercies each and every day. But Mike, that's all I got for now. Where can
people find you, Joe?
Well, I have a website. It's joedetree.com. It's joedetree.com. And it has more about my podcast. It has where you can find out some of my trainings, coach trainings, leadership trainings. And if someone wants a free coaching call with me, if they mention your podcast, I'll give them a free 45-minute coaching session if they want. And talk about whatever they want to talk about to go to the next level in their life, in their leadership. Or if they want to start a business or whatever, I'm willing to give 45-minute call to anybody, anybody in your audience that mentions your podcast.
Well, that's awesome. And I'll have links for all those things in my show notes on Patreon. So as we wrap up here, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Joe, obviously, for coming on. Forgiveness is a big deal. So don't approach it lightly. Don't shove it to the side. It makes the difference between making it and not making it. But you can find the podcast if you are watching us. There's a little wave, right? If you're listening on Anchor or any other podcast platform, you can always go to YouTube or Facebook and also find the video if you'd like to go back over it. Also, once again, visit patreon.com. You can be a patron of the show, or you can get all of the show notes. Everything we talked about and the scriptures used will be listed there. And whatever info you get, just email me directly, mike@thesedatedman.com. Joe, I want to thank you for coming on, and everybody go out and crush it.
Thanks for listening to The Sedated Man, bringing Christian men back to power in their homes, congregations, and communities. We'll see you next time.